Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church desiring to fulfill God's will. We invite you to join us in an atmosphere of praise and worship and the powerful teachings of Christ delivered in a most creative way that reaches every age. Located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the wonderful campus of Gillespie Park Elementary School. This year, we're focusing on building a foundation solidified by grace, with walls made by faith, and our homes being filled with salvation by being united in living devotion. We promise you, visiting us online or in the sanctuary will be an experience that will be life-changing and one you'll never forget. We hope to see you soon. Services begin at 11 a.m. Have a blessed day.
Amen. 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 We learned that they are changed, broken through praise. Amen. We learned that God inhabits the praises of his people. So very simply put, if you're in a situation and you need the God to show up, just go ahead and start praising him. Just go ahead and start praising him. Amen. 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 This Sunday, God has blessed us with the book of Amos, and we're going to be coming from the seventh chapter. The book of Amos, the seventh chapter. We'll be starting at the 10th verse. We'll go all the way down through the 13th. Amos chapter 7, verses 10 through 13. It was on page 786 if you're using a church Bible. 786 if you're using a church Bible. 786. Once you have it, would you please stand? If you're unable to stand, just say, hey, I got it. If you need some more time, say, Pastor, hold up. All right, I heard a hold up. I don't know if you're going to get a whole minute, but I heard a hold up. Amen. 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 Amos chapter 7, verses 10 through 13. Amen. You might have it in another version, but I'll be reading from the King James Version. It says, then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there. But prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel, and it is the king's court. Let us pray. Father God, first and foremost, we say thank you. Thank you, God, for this time and this moment, God. Thank you for allowing us to be here right now. God, we worship you for who you are and praise you for the mighty things that you've done. And so, Father God, we ask, Father, right now, Lord, that you would allow your word to be shared in a way that you would have it to be done. And in doing so, that you would open up our ears, our hearts, and our minds, that we would receive this word to not just be hearers, but to be doers as well. Father, we need you at all times. Father, right now, show up in our lives. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Amos. Who knows about the book of Amos? It's not a familiar book. It's not a book that a lot of people read. Not a book a lot of people read. But this particular area of scripture is awesome. Awesome. So if you have not taken the time to read the book of Amos, I would ask you to make sure that you put that in your life, that you would actually get the time to do it. Today's title sermon, if you're going to be writing notes on the back of the program, there's a little area for notes. If you're going to be writing notes, it's get it right. Simple. Get it right. Let me give you a little bit of background on the book of Amos. When I asked who had read the book of Amos, nobody raised their hand. So I want to go ahead and give you a little bit of background on the book of Amos. In our biblical timeline, Amos comes while there's a divided kingdom. You have a united kingdom that consists of 12 tribes. 12 tribes of Israel, of Jacob. These 12 tribes, Solomon has died. And so since Solomon has died, there's now someone trying to jump in there and try to be the king, trying to be the ruler. So it now becomes a divided kingdom. Two tribes remain in Judah, Judah and Benjamin. And the other 10 tribes go to the north, the northern kingdom. So in this particular book in Amos, you'll find that the southern kingdom is referred to as Judah, and that the northern kingdom is referred to as Israel. These 10 tribes go up north. So God has commanded in the later earlier books, he's commanded that worship should be done in Jerusalem, which is Judah, where Judah is, in Jerusalem. That's where the southern kingdom is. But up in the north, that's a long journey for everybody. All 10 tribes have to travel back down. So Rehoboam remained in Judah. Jeroboam jumped to the north. And when he jumped to the north, the 10 tribes that with him, he said, I know what I'll do. I'll establish a temple here in the north. I'll establish a temple. And in this temple, I will put in two different places. No, one is Dan. I don't remember exactly what the other one is right off the top of my head. But two different places. He created golden calves. And he put these golden calves in these two different places for folk to worship in the northern kingdom. The northern kingdom found themselves similar to maybe how we find ourselves in 2017. Prospering. You look at Wall Street, you'll see that the numbers are up and all that other kind of stuff is going on. People have a little bit of extra money in their pocket. Folk are able to save again. Housing sales are going up. All kinds of stuff are happening in our nation right now. Similar to what was going on in the northern kingdom. They were prospering. Economic prosperity. They was doing it. Everything was going great. Everything was going good. But they were going against the will of God. If you take the time to read the book of Amos, you'll find that out. But they were going against the will of God because they had created these golden calves for folk to worship in the northern kingdom. Is everybody with me? All right. So as all of this is going on, Amos, normally in the Bible, you'll find someone that's a prophet has been groomed to be a prophet. They've either gone to school to be a prophet or either their father was a prophet. Now they've gone into that and that blessing has been passed upon them. But Amos is very similar to David. Amos was not a prophet's son. Amos was not trained to be a prophet. Amos was specifically called by God to go speak. Amos was actually in Judah. He was not a shepherd, but he was a sheep herder. He trained other shepherds. This is what he did. Amos also had a little side hustle. He had a side hustle. His side hustle was sycamore trees. He dealt with sycamore trees. Amos gets called by God to go up, and so he goes up to the northern kingdom, being obedient to God, and he tells them, hey, y'all are prospering, you are doing all of this, but you're not putting God first. Everybody with me? Amen. So here's some specific things that Amos calls out. He says Israel was guilty of legal injustice. Does that sound like 2017 to anybody? Okay. He says that they were guilty of economic exploitation, which basically means that everybody that had was willing to keep everything they had as long as they could step on everybody that were the have-nots. And so the rich looked out for the rich and all the while exploited the poor. Does that sound like 2017 to anybody? Okay. Religious hypocrisy. Do I need to go any further with that one? We'll leave that one there. All right. Religious hypocrisy. Luxurious indulgence. I was riding with someone yesterday, and a car was beside us. And he was a younger guy, and he said, man, that car is nice. Mercedes 550 AMG, whatever. He's like, that car is nice. I said, well, yeah, it looks nice. I said, how much does that car cost? He said, man, that's about $150,000. I said, that's a house. That's a house. Man, I'm going to get me one of them. Get a house. Get a house. Craziness. luxurious indulgence. And boastful complacency. Boastful complacency. I'm good where I'm at. Don't want to be pressed. Don't want to be pulled. Don't want to grow. Anything that grows is stressed. Anything that grows is stressed. If you don't believe me, ask a mother that's had a child. Will I get an amen now? Amen. Oh, okay. Anything that grows, there's stress that comes along with it. Amen. You'll find these things in chapters 3 through 6 of Amos. Chapters 3 through 6 of Amos, you'll find these things that I just mentioned. If you're writing that down in your notes for you to read back later on. Get it right. This particular area right here of scripture that we have is Amos has gone through. He's had his visions. He's seen these things. He's left Judah. He's gone to the northern kingdom. And he's been out in the streets prophesying, saying what was going on. Oh, let me give you a definition of this prophecy. So a prophet and a priest, because it says, how you pronounce that? Amaziah was a priest, but Amos was a prophet. Does anybody know the difference between a priest and a prophet? Okay. So a prophet is the one that God uses to communicate from God to man. A priest is the one that speaks to God on behalf of the man. So the priest was the one that when it was time for atonement of sins, everybody went to the priest, and the priest said, okay, I got it. Let me go talk to God. The prophet said, I've already been talking to God. Now let me talk to you. Everybody got that? All right. So prophecy. Prophecy is more about foretelling the truth about the present than foretelling events in the future. So some people think that prophecy is, oh, let me go ahead and tell you about what's going to happen later on. No, prophecy is looking at what's happening right now. Let me tell you the truth about what's happening right now, and it'll line up in accordance to God's word. Instead of, let me just go ahead and tell you about something that's going to happen in the future. Amen? Okay, everybody got it. All right, wonderful. So now, Amos and Amaziah. Amaziah was feeling a little funny. He was feeling a little bit funny because if Amaziah is the priest, and he's the priest during a very prosperous time, and he was the one that would be there to speak to God on behalf of man, what do you think that was happening with Amaziah? Folk had money. They came to the priest. Hey, I got a situation going on. Let me give you this loot so you can talk to God for me. Does everybody catch it? Give me this loot. I think we said religious hypocrisy. Is that what we said? Let me go ahead and do this. So Amos had a position of, Amaziah had a position of power. And so Amos comes and says, no, y'all are all wrong. You need to get it right. And so Amaziah said, wait a minute. If they start listening to Amos, I'm about to lose some of my shine. So I got to go ahead and throw something on Amos so that I can look better. And so what he does is that Amaziah has the king's ear, Jeroboam. And so this is what scriptures talks about here. So what happens is that he goes and he says, look, Jeroboam, let me tell you what this Amos has been saying about you, what he's been saying about your land. Now, if you go back just a little bit further in the beginning of chapter 7, you'll find out that Amos didn't say it the way Amaziah said it to Jeroboam. Amos said, the Lord said. That's what Amos said. Amos said, the Lord said. The Lord said this would happen. The Lord said that you're doing this wrong. The Lord said. That ain't how Amaziah presented it to Jeroboam. Amaziah presented it to Jeroboam to say, Amos said. In other words, to try to get the king, to try to get rid of Amos. Notice it says, then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, sent him a letter saying, Amos has conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. Remember, Israel represents the northern kingdom. Amos wasn't conspiring against nobody. He was a sheep herder. He was having fun down in the southern kingdom. He came to give the message from God. Amen. The land is not able to bear all of his words. We can't endure everything Amos is saying, because if folks start listening to what Amos is saying, you as king going to be tore up, me as the priest is going to be tore up, and everything is going to change. If you look in the history of the Bible, when a prophet came and folk weren't doing wrong, and a prophet came and said, hey, you need to change, you need to do whatever, and folk didn't change, it all got destroyed. Amen. It says, for this Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of the land. He said, hey, he's calling up somebody to assassinate you. When the Lord said that he would die by the sword, not Amos. And then Amaziah goes a little bit further in verse 12. He says, also Amaziah said unto Amos. Now, he wrote a letter to the king, but now he's talking directly to Amos, directly to the prophet of God. He says, O thou seer. Now, seer was someone that proclaimed to be a prophet. It's been used interchangeably as being a prophet. But seer is also something that's been used to say this person actually wasn't a prophet, but this person was prophesying for gain. They were prophesying for gain. So he said, basically calling them a name, saying, hey, you just here for the money. You ain't here to do what it is God's calling you to do. He says, O thou seer, go flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there. Go back to Judah. Prophesy there. Let somebody pay you. Why don't you make some money down there? Get away from here. Nobody want to hear what you're saying up here. But prophesy not again anymore in Bethel. He says, don't prophesy no more here. Now, this is the part that's the kicker. For it is the king's chapel, and it is the king's court. So now, Amaziah the priest has put King Jeroboam before God, because he says it is the king's chapel in the king's court. If you ever hear somebody say that I say that this is my church, this is Pastor Webb's church, that's totally wrong. This is God's church. I just happen to be the shepherd. That's it. That's it. Amen. Get it right. Get it right. Get it right. I got two things I'm going to give you. As far as getting it right. Everyone won't like what you have to say. So if you're getting it right, you're doing what it is God is telling you to do. You're doing it the way God has given it to you. You're following God's scripture. You're doing what it is God has placed before you. You're walking in your destiny, your call, your area. Everybody's not going to be happy about it. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. God doesn't have a destiny for you that's just specifically to touch you, but by you walking in your destiny, it's going to bless other people. It's going to bless other people. Amos, by listening to the call, the divine call by God on his life to go do what he had to do, he was in a position to set people free. He was in a position for folk to get their stuff in order. Because if you read back in the book of Amos, God has already declared, I'm going to utterly destroy. I'm going to destroy the buildings, I'm going to destroy the land, and I'm going to destroy the people. Two different times. God said he was going to destroy it once by a locust. Locust was going to eat it up. Amos prayed and said, Lord, don't do that. Don't do that. Repented and said, okay, I'm not going to do it that way. Then God says, I'm going to do it by fire. Amos prayed again, please don't do that. And he said, I won't do that, but I'm going to destroy it. But because of your prayers, I won't do it that way. A remnant would be spared, but the majority of folk wasn't going to make it. So when you're in the midst of getting it right, understand, everybody's not going to like it. All right? Everybody's not going to like it. Secondly, second and last point here, when you're in the process of getting it right, don't let your position get you out of order. Don't let your position get you out of order. Amaziah, this is exactly what happened to him. He allowed his position, his title of priest, to actually get him out of order. He was willing to talk against God so that he could keep this economic status going on. It's not about money. I think it's over in 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy, did I write it down? Yes, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and 10. It says, love of money is the root of all evil. It's nice to have money. It is. Anybody agree with that? It's nice to have a little bit of change in your pocket. It's nice to be able to know that, hey, I don't have to live paycheck to paycheck. I'm able to save just a little bit. And when I feel like going out to eat, I can go out to eat. I think I talked with somebody this morning. There ain't nothing wrong with partying hard as long as you work hard. Doing the right thing. But if you get to the point that you're willing to put everything else aside just so that you can make a couple of extra dollars, that's not right. It's going to come back on you. Fast money, quick money don't last. It don't. And there's all kinds of stuff folk could do here in this room, and you could go ahead and make fast money. But what's at stake when you're trying to make fast money? Doesn't last. Over in First Kings chapter 12 verses 26 through 33. When I was talking about the golden calves and all that with the northern kingdom, you'll find that. Get it right. Get it right. That's today's message. Get it right. I know I gave you a whole bunch of background, gave you a whole bunch of different stuff. It was amazing that God pointed me to this, and for me, and through my study, to see the similarities of where we are right now in 2017, where this world is. Folk are in position based upon money, not because of them wanting to do the right thing. Folk are doing what they do, not because they're trying to do the right thing, but because they're trying to line their pockets. Unfortunately, there's a lot of folk that say that they put God first in their lives, but actually are putting God on the back burner, all so that they can make some money. There are folk that are backstabbing each other just so that they would look better. There are folk that are misusing their position and are totally out of order. I want to share with you today, get it right. Whatever it is God is calling you to do, just like Amos, he had to get up, he had to travel, he had to do something he had never done before. If you look at those next verses starting in 14 and 15 right there, you'll look and see Amos's response to Amaziah. He said, look here, man, I was a sheep herder. I wasn't trained up in prophecy or none of this. I ain't coming here to knock no shine off of you or none of that. Only thing I'm coming in here to do is to do the will of the Lord. And if that rubs you wrong, that's on you. We as believers, not going to get everything right. We're not going to cross every T and we're not going to dot every I. So don't fool yourself. God knows your heart. Have a heart to do the right thing. Have a heart to respond the way God would have for you to respond. Have a heart to walk into whatever calling God has for you. Because the blessings that he has stored for you are blessings that are also go out and bless other people around you. Amen? Amen. Amen. If we want this place to be better, we want this world to be better, we all have to get it right. Amen? Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for the Lord. I believe this is where we are. I believe this is where we are. I believe we're in a world where that's what God is doing. He's calling us. He's giving folk a chance to get it right. The Bible says that in the last days, that if it were even possible, the very elect would be fooled. They would be fooled. As God has always shown, all the way through the Old Testament up to now, he's always shown, no matter how bad it got, there was still a small remnant that kept his commandments. There was still a small group that said, no matter how it looks, no matter how bad it no matter what everybody else got to say, I'm staying on course. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. I don't know where you are in your life. I don't know what it is you're going through. I don't know what's happening. But what I can tell you is that God says he will always provide a way out of temptation. No matter what it is that we go through, no matter what situations we're in, he'll always provide a way out. Always. You might have heard the story about the man that had got caught up in the flood. He was caught up in the flood, and he was on the rooftop of the house. And he was sitting there on the rooftop of the house, and he was just praying to God. God, save me. God, save me. God, save me. God heard his prayer. A man came by on a little makeshift raft and says, hey, man, hey, come on. This will help us. Come on, jump on here on this raft so we can get to safety. He said, nah, man, I'm good. I'm praying to God. God's going to save me. He kept praying. Boat came along. Nice boat. Little motor on the back. He didn't have to worry about getting wet or pedaling or nothing. It was big enough that they had a little ramp that they could throw out there that he could just walk from the roof right onto the boat. Come on, man. Come on over. Hey, I'm good. God's going to save me. Finally, the guy that was on the raft and the guy that was on the boat, once they got back to safety, they said, hey, there's a guy over there on that roof. So they sent out the Coast Guard with a helicopter. Went down with the helicopter, dropped the line down. Come on, man. We're going to save you. He said, God's going to save me. The man died. Went to heaven. He's still a believer. Went to heaven. God, what happened? I was praying that you would save me. He said, I sent 3 different people to save you. And all because it didn't look the way that you wanted it to look. All because it wasn't the easy way out, the way that you didn't take the help that I gave you. Folks, we got to get it right. Just simple as that. Amen. Amen. It's personal decision time. Personal decision time. After listening to today's message, after listening through praise and worship, through testimony.